lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, if you've been following along with our study about church and politics, you know that the last time I asked the question, where is America? In other words, where does America stand today? And if you haven't noticed, America can be seen in Romans chapter 1, verses 22 through 32. Let me read one verse, verse 22 of Romans chapter 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Well, that's where America is today. The leaders have simply ignored the things of God. And God says, if you ignore him, you're nothing but a fool. We can also see America in Mark chapter 13 and verse 12, where it says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. We're not far from that. I believe that As we continue on down this slippery road that leads people to hell, we are seeing this happening in homes today, how that children are betraying the parents and brothers turning against brother and mother and father and so forth. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. The family is turning on each other. And in America, God's wishes are being ignored. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. It goes a little deeper than just simply a man putting on women's clothes and a woman putting on man's clothes. It means they're trying to be one of the other, a woman trying to be a man trying to be a woman, and it does not work. God created male and female, and that's the way it is. A person is born a male or a female, and that's the way they're going to die. Although the Mosaic Code, and we read this in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5, that's part of the code. Although this code is no longer legalistically binding in the Christian dispensation, and that's right now, it clearly indicates God's desire to maintain the distinctiveness of men and women. See, there were even people in ancient times referred to in the book of Deuteronomy who were emasculated, that means castrated, who were deprived of their maleness involuntarily or voluntarily. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 1 says, any emasculated man was forbidden to enter the assembly of the Lord. Now, contrary to God's desires, America has accepted transgenderism as acceptable behavior. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 1 says, he that is wounded in the stones or hath his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Can a person be saved after they enter into something having their anatomy changed? Well, that's between them and God. I simply read the scriptures for what it says, Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 1. You see, the reprobate mind has now reached the highest levels, and that level will demand the reprobate mind everywhere else. And where that mind dominates, the end of Romans chapter 1, where there is a depraved mind, then everything that's improper begins to happen. Well, I believe that's where the church is at today. That's where America is at today. This has come into the churches of America today. I'm speaking about those who call themselves Christian. Now, those of us who are members of God's church, that means we're born again, and we need to stand up and be counted for as righteous before God and before this world. Well, what or who is the church? You see, there was a church in the wilderness, according to Acts chapter 7 and verse 38. The Greek word for church is ecclesia, meaning the called out ones. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 16, right after Moses' prophecy of the coming prophet, the word for assembly, referring to the whole assembled congregation of Israel at Mount Sinai, was translated ecclesia in the Greek Septuagint translation of the Old Testament. However, neither Israel nor a local synagogue is ever called a church in the same sense as a local assembly of Christian believers. There is a difference. Well, there is a church today, and that's God's church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." No, Peter is not the rock. I repeat this over and over again. Peter is not the rock of what the church of the Lord is built upon today. The rock spoken of there is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is the foundation of the church. Now, God's church is a visible church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The church was not invisible, but it was visible when we read that verse back in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, and we read the following verses. The church was visible. People could be seen. People gladly received the word. In other words, they got saved, they got baptized, and became members of the visible local church. People, assembly at Jerusalem, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, the same day there were added unto them, who? The Jerusalem church, or the local church at Jerusalem, about 3,000 souls. That means there was probably more than 3,000 who got saved on that day as Peter stood and preached the word of God, telling people they must repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You see, it's not by works of righteousness which we do. It's according to God's mercy that he saves us, that he saves anyone in this world. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, you must admit that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must realize that there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man entereth in but by me," he says in the scriptures. Well, what's the result of the early church? There were several results that we read of in the Word of God as we follow that. The early church produced fear. What does this mean? Acts chapter 2 and verse 43 says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Well, why was there fear? Well, the Holy Spirit was present, and not only were signs and wonders seen by the people were pricked in their hearts when told of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Please keep this in mind. A few weeks before what we are reading about here and what I've just read, Jesus was crucified. Just before the crucifixion of Christ, the Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse 56, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Remember, even Peter had denied the Lord just before the crucifixion. We read about this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 70 and 72, and verse 75. Now, after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, possibly some of those same people who had cried, "Crucify him," in Luke chapter 23 and verse 21, possibly some of those people had received Christ as Savior on the day of Pentecost as Peter preached. But let me remind you that as Peter denied our Lord, he realized as the Lord looked at him, the Lord came out from being questioned and beaten and slapped around, and he looked at Peter. And the Bible tells us that Peter looked at him, and I believe at that moment, Peter, he said, "Lord, forgive me." Now, we don't hear him saying that, but I believe he was saying that to God in his heart. "Lord, what have I done? Please forgive me." We know that Peter asked for forgiveness. Now, he was already a saved man, but he had forsaken the Lord. He had turned his back on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the Lord said, "Peter, I forgive you." Well, we don't read of that, do we? We understand that when a person comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Peter had done, When that person comes to a saving knowledge, they have eternal life. Nothing can separate them from the love of God, from the love of Christ. Romans chapter 8 talks about that. And when we think of that, I think of that person who has turned his or her back on the Lord, who has been saved. And we see that in America today. People of God have turned their backs. You say, well, I would never turn my back on God. Well, how many times do you attend church weekly? Do you go once a week and say, well, that's my part for this week. I don't have to do anything else. Maybe you even go twice a week and you say, well, that's my part. I don't have to do anything else. If you do not stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to get things right with God right now. You need to fall on your face and say, God, forgive me for not serving you more every day of my life because, Lord, you saved my soul. I'm not going to hell now because you have saved me. And Lord, the best part is you loved me so much. You gave your life for me that I could see you one day and I could thank you personally. Christians need to get up and get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Does a church, do the people need to be involved in politics? You need to vote. You need to vote the right way. You need to vote for the person who's doing the job. And I mean doing the job, standing up for the moral things of God, standing up against the abortions that's taken place daily, the murder of unborn children and born children. You may not realize it, but there are some children who are born, they're alive, and they're killed after they're born. Now, that may seem wrong to you, and it is. That may seem like a statement that is not true. Well, it is true. You've got your head in the sand, and you need to get your head out of the sand, and you need to wake up and understand that God wants you to be serving Him to your fullest. Remember this. You can get things right with God now by asking His forgiveness, not to be saved again, but because you are saved. Remember, even Peter had denied the Lord just before the crucifixion. And now, after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, possibly some of those same people who had cried, "Crucify Him," had received Christ as Savior. If you've turned your back on the Lord, you need to get things right with Him right now so that you can be used of God. Peter preached and people got saved. Well, you may not stand as Peter did on the day of Pentecost, but you can tell people that Jesus saves, that Jesus wants them, the people of this world, to know Him as Lord and Savior. Now notice, on the day of Pentecost, people who had received Christ as Savior were now proclaiming Him as Lord instead of denying Him. Those who were watching the happenings in Jerusalem knew that something supernatural was taking place. They had never seen anything like it. They were filled with wonder, awe, and had a great reverential fear of what they were seeing, what was happening, what they were seeing with their own eyes. Do people look at you and say, that is a man, that is a woman of God? Do they look at you and say, I want what they've got. I want what that person has because I want to go to heaven one day. I want to know Jesus Christ like they do. If you're not standing up for the Lord, you need to fall on your face right now and say, God, forgive me for not serving you more, for telling other individuals that Jesus saves and they can go to heaven just like me. Let's pray right now. Father, I pray that you would take what I've spoken today and speak to the hearts of those people, of that one individual, Lord. Speak to each individual and that one, Lord, who would listen to you today and realize that they've been saved, that they know you as Savior, but they have not been standing up for you. And I pray for that person that they would get things right with you right now in Jesus' name. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you. You can be saved right now, just as those people on the day of Pentecost received Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord.
May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.